Well, let's use January 2024 as an opportunity to get back to the basics in how to get in the self-storage business. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And what I do is I support the small investor who wants to get in or grow their self-storage business. The Quick Start Academy is the platform that houses the training that I offer the small investor. And it houses courses such as the Quick Start Academy On-Demand Self-Storage Bootcamp. This is a training. It's one of my premier trainings. It's designed to take you from wherever you are now all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. I'm actually going to be hosting a live virtual bootcamp in early March. Dates will be coming out soon. But if you're interested in getting started, people who purchase the on-demand bootcamp will have all the resources that people in the live get, and you will be able to attend the live virtual bootcamp at no additional cost. Today, though, let's talk about what makes a good self-storage site. A lot of people who are getting in the self-storage business or growing their self-storage business want to do new construction as their entry point into the self-storage industry. Now, I've talked about this before, specifically in episodes 303 and 381, but I'm going to kind of cover it again, slightly different twist, more in the back to the basics mindset that I'm having this January. We have a lot of people who are new to this community, so I thought I'd cover this with you early on. Now, I've made a lot of mistakes in site selection over the years, and my goal in all of these episodes is to shorten your learning curve and share with you out loud things that I've learned. Now, one thing I've learned is there is no perfect site. Like life, sites for self-storage have trade-offs, but there are four fundamental things that I look for that I think make a good site. And the first is visibility. Now, in my world, I relate to self-storage like a retail business. This isn't housing or apartments or office. This is a retail business. I want visibility. We track in our brands where our customers come from, and usually the number one source of new leases is people say, "I've seen you. I drive by it all the time." And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. So in our brands, our average customer lives 3.2 miles from our facility. Usually the vast majority, 86% or more of your customers are going to live 5-4 miles and in to your facility. And as they go about their daily life, driving to the grocery store, taking their kids to school, going to soccer games, If they drive by your facility and see it, when they need storage, they'll either one, think of you, or two, when they go online to look for self-storage, they'll see your facility because you're doing pay-per-click and will show up there in that trade area. And they'll say, "Oh, yes, that facility." So first and foremost, I want to be seen by my customer base, whether they need storage or not. Now, I know there's a really good, valid argument that with the internet today, visibility is less important, that you can do online marketing that will drive customers to your location, and that's probably true. I don't want to win that argument. All I know is every time I do a project, I'm betting $2, $4, $6 million, whatever it costs to do that project, I'm betting that much money, and I know visibility is a sure thing. So I want to have visibility. I have had facilities that don't have good visibility, and we spend more on online marketing, and usually I have to discount my rents as an incentive to have people hunt for me. That's just my opinion again. Don't want to win an argument. I'm just telling you what makes a good site for me. Visibility is like number one. And that will eliminate a lot of sites because usually high visible sites that are zoned or will allow self-storage are usually very expensive. And self-storage may be getting $12 to $20 a square foot income. And very often these tight high visible retail type sites are priced for businesses like drugstores that may be getting $200 a square foot. So it takes something to find these sites, but believe me, it makes all the difference in the world to have that high visibility. I would even take, like, my experience is expressway exposed sites where somebody may have to do two or three turns to get to you. Is well worth it. It's the visibility, not necessarily being able to do a quick right turn off a main drag. My experience is the facilities that I've had that have good expressway exposure during the lease up, those lease ups go much quicker because of that visibility. The next thing that I look for is the area health for self-storage and demographics. I'm just going to call it demographics. I look at some metrics. I can't overstress this today. And a lot of times the metrics will kill a highly visible site that I found I like. Specifically, what am I looking for? Well, the number one metric I look for is square foot per capita. Like, how much current supply is there in my trade area per person? Now, I don't have an exact number I'm looking for, but if it's 18 square feet per capita, I think the national average is close to 7 or 8 now, that's a red flag. Now, in Houston, Texas, for example, the square foot per capita I'm comfortable with is usually much higher than what it would be in Boise, Idaho, for example. My experience is the closer to the coast, the closer to recreational areas I am, I've seen higher square foot per capita work great. Certain parts of the country, 6 square feet per capita might be oversupplied. So feasibility reports ultimately going to tell me, but I'm going to look at, and I will pay a few $100 and get a report from, let's say, Radius Plus or some other provider to get an initial number on square foot per capita. Next thing I look at is population. Again, 15, 20 years ago, you would hear 50,000 people within a 5-mile radius. Well, I've owned a lot of projects that don't have 50,000 people in a 5-mile radius and made very good money there. But I'm looking for people. Now, at any given moment, only, let's say, 10 or 12% of whatever the population is for my trade area are going to need self-storage. But I want to see that there's people there. I want to see there's enough people for the size project I'm contemplating and whatever the current supply is. The next thing I look at is population growth. Now, I don't have to see huge growth, but I sure don't want to see it flat or going backwards, because population growth is a main driver for self-storage. And any mistake, and believe me, I will make them and so will you, any mistake you make as a developer will be fixed and solved by population growth. So I want to see some growth there. Next thing I look at is the rental rate of my competitors. I'm going to talk about the economics in a little bit, but I want to make sure that the rental rate is strong enough to cover the development costs that are going to be involved in bringing a site on and bringing a facility online. I try to get a sense of whether my competition is full or not. That isn't a deciding factor whether I think they're full, but it's better than having them empty. And I look at how many projects in my trade area are in lease up at the moment, are new and trying to hit stabilization. Those are going to be my main competitors if I'm building a new facility. And I just don't want to go head to head with them and do a race to the bottom of the rental rate market. And finally, kind of a new metric I look at, it's not hard and fast. I don't have a hard and fast number on it, but I look at what is apartment rent per square foot compared to storage rent per square foot. And I like to see apartment rent or housing rent per square foot higher than self-storage. Why? Well, because that tells me it's cheaper for someone to rent a storage unit to put their extra stuff in than it is to go out and rent a bigger apartment. Third thing I look at is the site shape and buildability. Now, I'm not an expert in this area. I usually get an engineer looking at the site very early on in the process, sometimes before I even have it under contract. But a few things I've learned is that the shape of the site makes a difference. We like wide drive lanes between our buildings, and being able to put that in there makes a difference. Usually what I do is very early on in the process, a lot of times even before I have it under contract, I will send a survey or a site plan to a storage fabricator and pay them to lay out, do a preliminary layout for me. And then I will run that layout by an engineer, certainly do that very, very early on in the due diligence process. But I want to get a sense of how user-friendly is this site going to be for a self-storage project. Some of the things, for example, can I get a large moving van, semi-truck in my facility? They don't have to go to every unit, but can they come in and do a circle and get out without ever having to go into reverse and be able to hit enough of my facility such that there's different unit sizes? And if I have climate control, they have access to that as well as non-climate control. I mean, those are kind of things I look at as I'm looking at a site. And how buildable is it? The only way I know is to get a geotech report. And I usually do that real early on in the process to see what the compaction of the land is and how much site work is going to be involved, because site work is a huge number, and sometimes I've been really surprised by the site work number that a particular site will cause me to have to pay to do a project on it. And zoning, I don't usually take projects through rezoning. I just don't want to spend the time or the calories doing that, but very often, if not the majority of the time, a special use or conditional use permit is required. I want to know about that early on. I want to know about the process. And again, these are conversations I have with a civil engineer very early on, maybe even prior to writing a letter of intent on the project. And the last thing, and I held this the last, but it's usually the first thing I do, is the economics of the deal. So I run numbers on it to see if it hits my benchmark numbers. Now, if you've been in my training, one of the first things we do is we design your business strategy. Why are you getting in? What are your goals? What is a good deal for you? And that's a function of what your goals are. And I'm not going to cover it here, but ultimately what we get to is, what are your benchmark numbers? Like for me, it was a 12 to 15% cash on cash return when I'm stable, and I want to be able to create enough value to be able to refinance it at stabilization and get the equity that was put in the deal back. I mean, I'm not saying that's the plan, that was just ours. But whatever your benchmark numbers are, first thing I do is run preliminary performance to see how close to our benchmark numbers we are. If it's a mile wide miss, I don't even go any further. But I do that early on. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it here. I've done a lot of episodes that do that. If you're on YouTube, seeing this on YouTube, there'll be links there. If you're on Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage and watching it or reading it, there's links in the text. If you're listening to a podcast, there'll be links that will take you to episodes and training on how I analyze deals. There'll also be a link to a course called How to Build Your First Self-Storage Facility. But usually I run a preliminary analysis, see if I'm close to my benchmark numbers. If I'm not, 1 through 3 makes no difference. So I do that first. If it looks like the site could work economically, then I go through the 1 through 3 I just did. Now, a couple of big mistakes I made and people I work with make, let me tell you two of them. I hear this a lot. I can get a really good deal on this site. Well, I can't tell you, if you know what I'm talking about, if you've been out looking at many storage facilities, I see a lot of storage facilities that should have never been built, frankly. And a lot of the reason they were built was because that person who built them got a really good deal on that site. Don't let your land costs determine whether it's a good site or not. Yes, you want to get a good deal, But if it's not a good site, if it's not a highly visible site, if it's going to be hard for your customer base to find you, I don't care what you pay for that site. It's not a good site. The other thing I hear a lot is, well, I already own the land or I already own the building. Well, great, but is it a good site? Doesn't matter whether you own it or not. If it's not a good site, don't use it. Sell it and find a good site. 1031 into it. But that's a mistake I hear, and I know it's easy to get emotionally attached to a site, and I've done it, and I've come up with all the excuses why this might be the exception to the general rule, and this is why it could be a good site for self-storage. I've learned the hard way not to play that game. It's either a good site or it isn't a good site. If it's not, don't do it, regardless of what you pay for it or whether you own it or not. Ultimately, what determines whether it's a good site is not you or me, it's the customer. Will they rent fast enough at the price you think you're going to get, and can you bring it in at what you think it's going to cost? If all that happens, it's a dang good site. But at the end of the day, it's your customer base that's going to tell you whether it's a good site or not. Period. So I hope this helps. These are some of the elements we consider as we're looking at site selection for self-storage in this Back to the Basics series in January of 2024. And one of the tools that we use to run those economic analysis is the Storage World Analyzer. I use Excel and have used Excel, but I tend to make mistakes, and I needed something that was easier for me to use and generated fantastic reports that I could use with my lenders and partners. I still use Excel some, but every day I'm in the Storage World Analyzer. If you're not using it and you're getting in or growing your self-storage business, I invite you to take a look at it. It's the one tool I use probably every day. So you can find out more about it at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage or StorageWorldAnalyzer.com. And I look forward to being with you next week as we take another cut into this Back to the Basics of getting in the self-storage business. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you then.